Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the NTRA Countdown to the Breeders' Cup World Championships Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, participants are asked to press star 1 to register for a question. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Mr. Jim Mulvihill. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Michelle. Welcome, everybody, to this week's NTRA National Media Teleconference. This is our final NTRA call of the year. Today we're previewing another great round of Breeders' Cup preps in Kentucky and New York. The Keeneland Fall Meet opens Friday here in Lexington, and this week they're hosting 9 graded stakes, all of which have Breeders' Cup implications. And at Belmont Park, it's Super Saturday 2 with 6 graded stakes led by one of America's greatest races, the Million Dollar Jockey Club Gold Cup. Now, according to our friends at the Breeders' Cup, 3 of those races will be part of a live NBC Sports broadcast Saturday. That'll be the Jockey Club Gold Cup and from Keeneland, the Shadwell Turf Mile, and the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. And that will all be packed into 1 hour, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the NBC network. Now, 12 of the big races this weekend are Breeders' Cup Challenge winning your in propositions. Those carry automatic berths and paid entry fees to the Breeders' Cup on November 4th and 5th at Santa Anita. All of our guests on today's call have several entrants in this weekend's Breeders' Cup Challenge races. So we've got a ton of ground to cover. And as usual, I will get the conversation started with one or two basic questions, but then I will just get out of the way and leave it to you all to ask whatever questions you want. So start thinking about those now. Later on, we'll be joined by Brad Cox and Karen McLaughlin. But first, it's my pleasure to welcome in trainer Mark Cassie. Mark's a newly inducted member of the Canadian Racing Hall of Fame and an 8-time Sovereign Award winner as Canada's outstanding trainer. He's trained several Canadian champions, including a Queen's Plate winner in Lexi Liu. But in the last few years, he's become one of the U.S.'s elite trainers as well, with 36 graded stakes wins in 2015 and 16, 11 of them in Grade 1 events, including 2 Breeders' Cup races last October at Keeneland. Of course, a good chunk of Cassie's graded stakes wins come from the incredible Mare Tepin, last year's champion turf female and Breeders' Cup mile winner. And we're going to find out all about Tepin and how she's doing right now. Mark Cassie, it's Jim Mulvihill at the NTRA in Lexington. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's our pleasure. Always good to talk to you. We're going to start with Tepin, of course. She's set to be entered in the First Lady, which is a race she won easily last year. But the Shadwell could have been an option, too. So if you would, just tell us a little bit about choosing the First Lady and plotting her schedule from Ascot in the spring to the Breeders' Cup coming up here in 5 weeks.
Well, you know, we looked at both options, and to be honest with you, we waited till Sunday to decide for sure. We wanted to kind of see what California Chrome did on Saturday. Our goal, our ultimate goal, if I guess you would say, would be, you know, for her to be Horse of the Year. We realize that California Chrome's going to be very tough to beat, and again, he was outstanding again this weekend. So after that, we sat back and we said, okay, what's our next goal? And our next goal would be to win the Breeders' Cup again this year. So we decided, well, what's the best way to get to the Breeders' Cup? And our feeling was it would be better to run her against fillies and hopefully get a little easier race this time out, and it should set her up nicer for the Breeders' Cup. That being said, I'm not saying that the fillies are easy to beat either. I mean, you know, there's some really good fillies, but we just thought it would be a little easier.
Mark, you mentioned the Horse of the Year title and watching California Chrome last weekend. Now, can you just talk a little bit more about what you think would have to happen for that path to be available? I mean, I think California Chrome would obviously have to finish off the board in the Classic, but what else do you think needs to happen
for
that to be a possibility?
Well, you know, obviously, I think we would have to win the First Lady and impressively, and then win the Breeders' Cup, and you know, also, and then again, California Chrome would have to get beat, and probably not just beat, but beat fairly And that may not even be enough to make his horse of the year. But that's, you know, that to me, that's what's got to happen.
Very good. Well, I can't wait to see how this all unfolds over the next several weeks. We've got a lot of questions from the media, I'm sure, not just about Pepin, but we've got some other stable stars to talk about, Catch a Glimpse, Victory to Victory, and the other runners this weekend. So hang on, and I'll have Michelle check with the media and see what questions they have.
Okay.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you have signaled for a question prior to hearing these instructions on today's call, please repeat the process now by pressing star 1 again to ensure our equipment has captured your signal. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal for questions. Our first question comes from Brian Zippy of Horse Racing Nation. Please go ahead.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Very good. Mark, I just have a simple question, and I know it's far from over, but the amazing career Tepin carries on. And I just wanted to know, out of all her big victories, which is the one that meant the most to you so far?
Well, Brian, that would be tough, but, you know, probably Royal Ascot, just simply because, you know, there's a lot of horses that have won the Breeders' Cup, but to be able to go over to England and kind of beat them at their own game and being able to, you know, to overcome so many adversities, it's just tells you how truly great she is. So it would have to be the Queen Anne.
Fantastic, Mark. Good luck, and see you Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 at this time. And as a reminder, if your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Our next question comes from Danny Brewer of HorseRacingScoop.com. Please go ahead.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Good, Danny. How are you?
Outstanding. What flicked the switch for Tepin? 11 out of 13, 8 in a row. What happened? I mean, how did you go from a horse to a super horse? What happened?
I think it's a combination of things, Danny. I'm a big, big believer in confidence, and I think that Tepin was always a good horse. He had some issues along the way. But being able to get her into a rhythm or a set of races, she enjoys running, and she's not the easiest to train simply because she doesn't put as much effort into her training as some horses do. So she benefits by running, and I think as she's gotten older, she is more versatile too. So she allows Julian the option of putting her in the race wherever she needs to be. And she's gotten, you know, much more confident. I yesterday was watching a few of her races on the beginning of her streak. And, you know, she won those races, but she was nowhere the powerhouse she is now. I can even see her now where she almost is making the lead a little bit and not going on, you know, she even in the Woodbine Mile, she only won by 3/4 of a length. But if you watch galloping out, she never let anybody get by. So she's starting to get where she plays a little bit with the competition, which is a bit of a concern.
Talk for a minute about Norm, Cassie, your son. I know he handles a lot of the stuff at Churchill. Took Noble Bird to victory last Saturday. What's it like having Norm on board, not only as an assistant, but as a son?
Well, I mean, it's everything. You know, it's one thing to be able to win these big races, and it's exciting. But to be able to do it with your son and your family, there's nothing like it. And We make a good team. At some point in time, probably, Norman's going to go out on his own, and I'm sure he's going to do extremely well. But for now, it's great. It just means so much more when you win, when your family's all involved.
Mark, I appreciate your time, man. I certainly wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you. The next question comes from Larry Stums of San Francisco Chronicles. Please go ahead.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good, Larry. How are you?
All right, Mark. I was going to ask you what changed between 2014 and 2015, but obviously you just answered that. Now I'm going to ask, how does a horse, any horse that can do this, what about her can keep her so on top of her game through such a long period of time? I mean, basically, except for those two narrow losses, other than that, she would have won 13 in a row. What makes a horse be able to keep that superiority for such a long period of time?
It's a good question. And I've often said, in my opinion, Larry, that good horses win when everything goes their way. Great horses can win when difficulties occur. And so, yes, she's won those races and she's, been so consistent. Has she always given us her A game? No, probably not, but she's so talented that even when she doesn't give you her A-plus game, she can win. And, a lot of that, I think, a lot of the credit there goes to Norman and our team. The one thing I'm really proud of, I'm proud of her, I'm proud of Catch a Glimpse. Catch a Glimpse is another filly that's, she did get beat her last start, but she's come to play every time she comes over there. So it's confidence, it's having great horses and having a great team. So I think it maybe is a little bit of all those things.
All right, thanks, Mark. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press *1 at this time. The next question comes from Tom Giga of Horse Race Insider. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Mark.
Hi, Tom.
Your mare is beaten. Colts, Found just beat the best colts in the world, theoretically in New York. She did it last year in the Breeders' Cup. Rachel Alexander, Harvard the Grace, Zenyatta, there's a litany. Do we place too much emphasis in America on keeping colts and fillies separated?
Oh, I think so. Tom, whenever you do, especially with the social media now and everything, whenever you go outside the box, you better be prepared to take some heat and criticism if it doesn't work. And probably more so than ever now, like I said, with all the social media and everything, it's, you better be prepared to get take a lot of heat if it doesn't work. And that probably keeps some owners and trainers from doing it.
Well, all right, the follow-up to that then would be, is there a physical – I mean, I know there's a physical difference between colts and fillies, but, I mean, as far as racing goes, is there any advantage that colts have over fillies, especially as they get older?
Well, I do believe for the most part that horses are similar to people, where at younger age that a young girl – for the most part, we see it in sports in grade school, where a young girl will outperform the boys more often than not. And as they get older, it gets a little more difficult. And there may be something to say about that also with horses. I just don't know. I think good horses can good other good horses. Catch a Glimpse is another one. As I said, she's went out, and right now I think the 3-year-old fillies are better than the 3-year-old colts on the turf at this point in time.
Thank you very much.
At least in the U.S. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. We'll turn the conference back to Mr. Mulvihill.
All right, Mark, I just got a few follow-ups for you. I'm curious if you could just talk about the celebrity of Teppan. You know, last year we saw how accessible American Pharoah was and what that meant for his popularity. And Teppan is along those same lines as far as how accessible you and Norm have made her around the barn. And, you know, she's got not only a million fans on social media, but she's got, you know, a baby, a human child named for her out in California.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I don't know if
Pharoah's got that.
Yeah, exactly. So is that a conscious decision to make her so available and accessible to the public? And what do you think of her celebrity status?
You know what? We're just so excited to have her that we want to share her with the world. And I think you've seen that not just with us, but with Mr. Masterson. I mean, that's why we went to England. That's why we went to Toronto. We're just blessed to have her. We're excited to have her, and we want to share her with the world. And, you know, it's funny. I think one of the problems with getting her back and her being, she was fairly tired after the Woodbine Mile was, I think she maybe ate too many mints in between the Royal Ascot race and Woodbine. I mean, she's had more visitors. She probably would have on a given day at Saratoga 15 or 20 visitors. And Norman said that when she got to Toronto, that he had never seen or been part of anything like the media coverage for. He said, I don't know if it made her tired, but it got him tired. So. In England,
well,
it was a little different. It was a little different because you're kind of out in the, you know, everything's so separated. So we were an hour away from Ascot. And of course, after the race, there was a huge media blitz. But before, there wasn't a whole lot of one.
Interesting. Well, we love seeing her, you know, so accessible to everybody, and it's really great to have another superstar in a year of superstars for sure. Now, I don't want to let you go without talking about the 2-year-olds this weekend. You know, looking ahead, if some of these at Keeneland run well, we would hope to maybe see these in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Juvenile Turf. So if you could just give us some thoughts on, you know, let's start with Classic Empire and getting another chance after a poor start at Saratoga.
Yeah, that was amazing. You know, I'm never overconfident because I just know there's so many things that can happen. But I was very, very confident in Classic Empire and the hopeful. I didn't think there was any way he would get beat. And then, of course, for him to pull what he pulled. Since then, we've added Blinkers. He's breezed out of the gate a few times. He has trained as good as a horse can train. So hopefully he shows up with his A game. He runs a big race. And we're, you know, we still have high hopes for him, and we hope to make the Breeders' Cup with him. So he's one. We have Keep Quiet, who's trained very well. He runs in the Bourbon. I think a good race out of him will send him to California. And
Ancient Warfare as well in the same race.
We got Ancient Warfare. He'll need to pop up. You know, I'm still baffled why he didn't run better. And of course, we're really excited about. Now, she doesn't run this weekend, but she runs next weekend is La Cornell. Philly that broke her maiden on the turf at Saratoga that beat Chad's Philly that won the Miss Grillo this week. We think she's a superstar. Our feeling is that she's the next Catch a Glimpse. In fact, when Florent came back after she broke her maiden, that's what he said. He said, we have another catch a glimpse. So hopefully that all works out well.
Yeah, hopefully so. That would be wonderful. Well, this is great information, Mark, and we really appreciate your time today. Good luck this weekend and beyond, and we'll look forward to seeing you out in California for the Breeders' Cup.
Well, thanks for having me, Jim. Have a good day.
You got it. You too. Mark Cassie with a ton of great information, especially telling us that Classic Empire has trained as good as a horse can train going into to Keeneland this weekend. So mark that down in your notebook for this coming weekend. Now we're going to move on to our next guest, and that's trainer Brad Cox. Brad's a 36-year-old Louisville native, and he's in the midst of the best year of his career. He's got 110 wins to date, graded stakes wins with four different horses, and we've got him down as probable in five of the Keeneland Stakes this weekend. So now let's check in with Brad Cox. Brad Cox, it's Jim Mulvihill in Lexington. You with us?
Yes, sir, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I just want to make sure that we've got everyone covered for this weekend, because you're basically emptying the barn, it seems. We got Benner Island in the Alcibiades, Cash Control in the First Lady, yeah. Spelling Again in the Thoroughbred Club of America, Almacy in the Woodford, and Royal by Nature in the Bourbon. As far as stakes horses go, is that everyone?
Yeah, that's it at Keeneland. Then we have Green Mask and the Belmont Invitationals. Invitational on the turf at Belmont.
Terrific.
On Saturday.
Terrific.
They'll all be in it. Hopefully we get it.
Very good. Very good. Well, I'm glad to hear everyone's still expected to enter. Well, let me start with Cash Control then, since we just spoke with Mark Cassie. You're going to face one of the best in the world in Teppan. So, I'm sure you're in it to win it, but being grade one placed at Keeneland isn't bad either. Just tell me what your hopes and expectations for Cash Control are in this spot this weekend.
Well, she faced Teppan once in the spring and, you know, in a great, really good, it was a really good effort. She was third behind Teppan. And, you know, the expectations are, I guess maybe we're in third, second or third. You know, we know that mare's, you know, one of the top, well, probably the top grass mare in the country, especially at a mile, and or not the country, but the world. But, you know, it would be big for this mare to get a grade one place. So we're gonna take a shot, see what happens. But she's really, really doing well. She's kind of a race at Kentucky Downs. She's been very sound all last year. And this year, she's trained very well, and she looks great. And she'll run very well. She'll make a good account of herself on Saturday.
Excellent. And you know, on these calls, we often have, you know, folks from the mainstream media who normally aren't covering racing day in and day out. Can you just explain for the benefit of those folks, you know, why would you enter a race where you're up against one of the best in the world? What does that mean to be, you know, grade one place? What does that mean for the mare and her future?
It would be big for her, you know, as she retires and becomes a mare. If her offspring was offered at public auction, I mean, it would, you know, enhance their value and enhance her value if she was ever sold at public auction as a broodmare prospect or in foal or whatever. But, you know, the grade one placing, which she does not have. She's a graded stake winner, which is means a lot.
Right.
But to become grade one place would actually increase her value as a broodmare.
Very good. Well, Brad,
You take the shot.
Oh, absolutely. And you can't duck a spot just because of one horse, as they always say, right?
That's exactly right. Anything can happen.
Yeah, all right. Well, I've got questions about some of your other starters this weekend, but I'm also going to let the media go first and see if they have anything for you. So, Michelle, do you want to see if anybody else on the call has a question?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 at this time. Our first question comes from Brian Zepsi of Horse Racing Nation. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brad. How you doing?
Hey, Brian. Great. How are you?
Good. Brad, my travels this spring, one of the best-looking horses I saw at both Oaklawn Park and then here at Churchill Downs was Dazzling Gem. I know not everything worked out quite as planned during the spring, but I just wondered what's his status, how's he doing, when can we expect to see him back at the races?
He's doing great. He breezed on Saturday a half and 48 and 3, probably a little more. He's probably ahead of schedule. We're trying to kind of had a November, end of November targeted for a return race, and he's probably a little bit ahead of schedule. And then all of that depends on when the proper race comes up, too. But he's back in training. We just gave him a little break. We kind of squeezed on him a good bit in the spring with shipping for the Louisiana Derby, then back in 3 weeks to the Arkansas Derby, and then kind of training up to the Kentucky Derby as if we were going to get in. So after the Sobart, we just decided to give him a little break and get him ready for a late 3-year-old and 4-year-old campaign. And he's doing great. He's very, very – he's doing very well right now.
So you would expect some sort of conditions allowance race before the year's out at Churchill Downs?
Yeah. Second level allowance would probably be the ideal spot, you know, mile and a 16, something like that on the dirt. So, yeah, that's probably what we're looking at, something like that right now.
And we'll see him next year.
Oh, yeah. I hope so. But, yeah, that's the plan. We're trying to get him ready for a big Oaklawn campaign. They're going to have some nice handicap races that hopefully he'll fit very well in. Razorback.
Excellent, Brad.
Stuff like that. Thank you.
Excellent. I wish you good luck this weekend at Keeneland and of course, in the future with Dazzling Jim.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions, please press *1 at this time. Our next question comes from Danny Brewer of HorseRacingScoop.com. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brad. How's it going today?
Good, Danny. How are you?
Outstanding. Dale Romans says young horses always bring excitement to the barn. Is that the case with Benner Island and Royal by Nature with these two pretty good-looking horses? Are you pretty high on them?
Yeah, it's a very true statement. It's, you know, young horses, there's a lot of, you know, what ifs and, expectations and, you know, they can, you know, we obviously want them to take it to the next level. As trainers, we just prepare them the best we can and try to get the most out of them. And, you know, we hope for big and better things for all, you know, the young horses to, you know, down the road. But, they're both of those. That colt and that filly, you know, obviously the colts, you know, he does his running on the grass and the fillies. We're excited to get the filly Benner Island around two turns. She's out of the awesome again mare, Spacey Tracy, and we think she'll be a little better going around two turns. And we don't think that was her preferred surface at all last time at Arlington. We had a couple options, you know, as far as races, and we just thought that was probably the best distance for her at the time. You know, going from the 5.5 to the 7.8, the distance wasn't an issue. She had a little bit of traffic trouble at the top lane. Nothing, I don't think it would have made the difference in winning or losing, but, the jockey, Julio Felix, did a great job riding her, and he came back and he said he didn't really think she cared for the footing, the poly track, and she had never been on it with us. We obviously kept her on dirt. You know, breezing and racing and everything. So we're excited about getting her back on the dirt and think she got big upside.
Maybe a little bit of a measuring stick this weekend for her. And if she shows you what you want, is she Breeders' Cup?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if she can compete with those horses and if she can, you know, if she gets the job done, you obviously have to look at the Breeders' Cup, you know, if she comes out of it in good order. But, you know, it's a step at a time, and we're just preparing for Saturday, and we'll for Friday with her, and we'll just, you know, see where she takes us.
Last one for me, spelling again. What do you think her best distance is? I know she's run miles, 7 furlongs, 6 furlongs. What do you think her best distance is?
Probably a one-turn mile. She's a tough one to find races for. We've had a lot of trouble trying to find the right race for her. You know, she ran a great race at Gulfstream going 7/8. She ran a good race at Belmont in the spring, one-turn mile. We're going to put some blinkers on her. We haven't entered her yet, but we're going to put some blinkers on her. She's a filly that, you know, it just seems like she's a little bit of a tough filly to train. She in her races, it seems like to me whenever she's she's run really well. She just has a clear trip, and she's kind of on the outside of horses and stuff. So we're going to put some blinkers. I mean, we're kind of hoping we draw an outside post. And you know, the race at Churchill last time out, I didn't like the one hole with her. It still looked like she could maybe get it done. We asked Louie to kind of shove her out of there and put her up in the race, and she didn't want any part of it. And run fifth, beating four lengths, and really didn't even try that day. So she come out of it in good shape. We're good. Like I said, we're going to flirt. We've been training her with blinkers and stuff, and she seems to, accept it. Except training in them, so we're going to try to run her in them and just kind of see if it helps or not. But she's a tough filly to deal with. She always has been, and I do think 7/8 is probably one turn model is probably her thing.
Brad, you're doing a great job, man. Keep up the good work. I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll turn the conference back to Mr. Mulvihill.
All right, Brad. Well, we did get to hear about a few of those horses coming up this weekend, but let's maybe talk a little bit more about Royal by Nature, if you could. A stakes winner at LAD, but obviously taking a big step up at Keeneland into a graded stake. So, just give us a little more thoughts on him.
We like him. He didn't show a ton of, I don't know, it's like a light bulb just had not went off with him when we run him at Indiana, because we thought about taking him to New York to run him, and, he just kind of seemed like just very immature mentally. Physically he's mature, he's a big, beautiful horse, but mentally he seemed just a little behind, and, we felt like we had him fit and he was ready to run, and I talked with, Sheikh Abdullah, Saeed Almadad, and just, told him, I said, Indiana's, it's not top tier. It's not Saratoga Racing.
Yeah.
It must be a good spot to get a race in him. And it was. I mean, he did it the right way. And then, after that, I thought the next spot would, obviously we need to face winners, or we had to face winners, and there's no allowance race going to go. So with him being, we could have looked at Kentucky Downs, but he's not a Kentucky bred. He's an Irish bred. So we wouldn't have run for all the money at Kentucky Downs. So we decided to go the Louisiana Downs with him. We won the race last year with an Uncle Mo coat named Uncle Brenny, so we knew a little bit about the race. And he ran very, very well that day. We were very pleased with him. And once again, I'll be honest, he kind of surprised me again just from the way he was training, very immature. But since the race, he's actually had two works that have been very, 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 very nice on the dirt. So he actually seems like he's moved forward big time since the Sunday Silence, and he's going to have to, obviously, with the jump in class. But I really do think he's going to run well on Sunday.
Very good. And if I could just follow up, I'm curious, because not only Royal by Nature, but Benner Island also broke her maiden at Indiana. So a little bit more about just starting off a young horse at those B-level tracks. Don't mean that in a derogatory way, but, a lot was made this summer about, not just Dale Romans, but increasingly more trainers starting off at Ellis over the summer rather than, tackling Saratoga and what that can mean for their future, giving them a little bit easier beginning as a juvenile.
Right. Yeah, same thing with Benner Island. We actually had her in at Ellis Park, and she drew down toward the inside, and it was really, really hot that weekend, and we had her stabled at Keeneland, and we just didn't want to ship her 3.5 hours, drew down on the inside, so we thought we'd scratch her, give her another week or two, and look for another race. So she was slated to start at Ellis, but like I said, with the post and the heat and everything, we backed off and just gave her a couple more weeks. And she, drew into the Indiana race, and she did it the right way, going to 5.5. We knew she was a filly that wanted more ground, but she set in behind horses. Robbie Alvarado went up to ride her. He liked her. He'd been on her the morning at Keeneland this past summer, and, liked her and said, he wanted to ride her, whether it was Ellis or Indiana. And he did a good job at, put her in behind horses and split horses and did it the right way. He did a great job on her.
Excellent. Well, a lot of big chances for you this weekend, but these are some tough spots. So, not to put you on the spot, but who's your most likely winner here?
Ooh, most likely winner. Oh, let me think here. I tell you, Al Madden really well. one we didn't talk about at all.
He's had some huge races in the past year or so. I mean, the one at the stake at Churchill that he won last fall was very impressive.
Yeah, I'm actually doing great. We're really pleased with him. He put up in a big work at Churchill on the dirt this weekend. We're going to enter him for the Woodford. I believe it's the Woodford going five and a half.
Yeah, the turf sprint.
On the turf. Yeah, the turf sprint. But, he's doing great. It wouldn't shock me if he won. He's really doing well. With not knowing, you know, the post positions and who all's in the race quite yet. But I'm really excited about him as far as, you know, one that can get the job done. All of them will run well. We don't run horses that's not doing well, and especially in great stakes. But and Green Mask in New York, he's really doing well. Johnny Velasquez rode him the last two times, and the first time he rode him, he's a very, very tricky horse to ride. I think it was a learning experience for Johnny, or getting to know him, and then come back and, you know, he beat lesser horses, in a allowance race at Belmont a few weeks ago. So, but I think he's set up for a big race Saturday at Belmont as well.
Excellent. Well, Brad, this is a lot of great info. We wish you luck this weekend. Thanks for coming on with us.
Okay, thanks. Talk to you soon.
All right,
Brad. Pardon me, Mr. Mulvihill. We do have one question that have came in.
Oh, Brad, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, one last question.
Okay, great. Thank you. The question comes from Ben Cushney of Prime Media. Please go ahead.
Hi, Brad. I see you. You run a lot of. I'm based in New York, and I see you do actually very good work here. Your horses in New York. But are you primarily based in Churchill, or do you split your time evenly between the two tracks? I was just curious.
No, home base is Churchill, and I guess you would say Kentucky's home base. We have some horses at Keeneland and Churchill, and then we have a string at Belmont. I try to come up every few weeks. I haven't been able to make it up this meet because of the September sale, but I was make it to Saratoga, two or three days a week, probably every 10 days, and then Belmont. I've yet to make it up this fall, but I'll probably be up there for the 15th. We're going to run Philly, Believe in Birdie, and possibly Sassy Little Lila and the Pebbles. But, we're trying to have a little more of a presence in New York. We really like it. I have an assistant, Brittany Trimble, that runs the show. She's the assistant there and does an excellent job. And she's been with me 2.5 years. And ever since I've had horses in New York, she's just pretty much run the show there. But I'm in and out, but most of my time's here in Kentucky.
And can you just tell me who you were an assistant trainer for and what your background, you know, who you worked for basically before you went out on your own?
Okay. Yeah, I spent 4.5, almost 5 years with Dallas Stewart. And I went out on my own the end of 2004, December of 2004. I was with Dallas for right at 5 years. Before that, I worked for Jimmy Baker for a few years and, you know, a bunch of guys, you know, getting through high school and all that stuff. Just some guys here and there, like Jinx Fires, Frankie Brothers, Bert Tessinger.
You have a very impressive start to your career. Last quick question. On Benner Island, with being by Spitestown and with theatrical up on the dam side of her pedigree, I gather will you be pointing her towards some turf races at some point? Is that a plan?
It's possible. Mr. Anthony likes to run on the dirt. It's crossed our mind that she may like the dirt, or I'm sorry, the turf. But with her, you know, actually, I was saying earlier, she didn't act like she cared much for the poly track. So sometimes horses don't care for poly track, they don't care for the turf. But right now, I don't really see anything in the near future as far as the grass. But, maybe at some point down the road, later in her three-year-old year or something, we can maybe look at the grass with her.
Very good. Okay, thank you and good luck.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
All right, Brad, thanks so much again for your time today.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Brad Cox, one of the top 20 trainers in America right now by wins, 110 already this year. That brings us to our final guest. He's a regular on these calls, trainer Karen McLaughlin. This weekend he's got big chances in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, the Flower Bowl, and the Kelso. But before we get to those, you know, we also have to talk about Frosted, who you could still argue put forth the greatest single effort of the year, despite what we've seen from California Chrome, and is a leading contender for the Breeders' Cup, regardless of which race he runs in. Kieran, Jim Mulvihill here. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Well, we will most certainly talk about your chances in all the races on Super Saturday this weekend, but I'm sure you understand that everyone's always eager for a Frosted update. He's been back at the Green Tree Training Center since the Woodward. Can you just tell us how he's doing?
He's doing great. He's scheduled to work tomorrow about 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to drive up from Long Island to watch him work, and we're still not sure which race we're going in. I will stay in touch with Jimmy Bell and John Ferguson, who in turn will tell me after Sheikh Mohammed makes the decision.
Of course, and you obviously anticipated my next question there, but can you just share a little bit more of your own personal thoughts on where he might belong?
Well, myself, I worry about the two-turn mile. If it was one turn, it would be different, but two turns is just a quick run into the first turn. It can be a little bit of traffic jam getting into the first turn, and often the speed is very important. He has plenty of speed, but going a mile, I'm not sure. So, you know, it's hard to say, but obviously the Classic is a great race with California Chrome and Arrowgate and others, FNX and whoever else might show up. Tough race, but the race shape might be better for Frosted.
And there's certainly no hurry to decide here. What is the would it be pre-entry day that you would have to come up with a decision, or wait for the entry day the following week?
No, I think we will know before the pre-entry. So I'm pretty sure we will know which way we're going.
Very good. Well, Kieran, I'm going to step aside, and we'll see what our friends in the media have for you. Not just about Frosted, but we've also got to talk about Mukta Heej, Sentiero Italia, and Tamar Kuz as well. So let's check with Michelle and see what else is on the line.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time. Our first question comes from Danny Brewer of HorseRacingScoop.com. Please go ahead.
Kieran, how's it going today, man?
Great. Everything's going well.
Mukta Heej, a warrior. Would you characterize him as a warrior? I mean, he's gone all over the world and run, and he seems always to be competitive. How would you characterize him? Is that an accurate?
Yeah, that is accurate. Yeah, he's a really neat horse, tries hard, does everything right. He's a real pleasure to train. We've enjoyed training him, and we expect him to run a big race Saturday. He's really doing very well.
He's been knocking on the door the last few races. How is he going to open it up, or is he going to kick it in on Saturday?
Well, it's his third start with Lasix, and I think that he's just doing very well, and hopefully the competition is he's catching up with the competition and can figure out a way to win. Irat knows him well now. His third time to ride him this summer, and we just hope that the race unfolds well for us, and we have the best horse.
Talk about the Kelso and how you think that's going to shape up for you.
Well, Tamarquez ran really well last time, being second in the 4-go with Mike Smith, and he really liked him, and we're happy that we're going to have Mike Smith back. And we are also going to run Ocean Knight in the Kelso. He was on the lead last time in a mile allowance race, but he ran a huge race, big number, doing real well. So we think we have a good two horses to run in the race. And we're also going to run Watershed in the Jockey Gold Cup with Mukta Heej. And he's very well bred. We think he wants to go the mile and a quarter. So we're double-teaming them in both of those races.
Last one from me, Big Money Mike. What's it like getting a rider like Mike Smith on your horses?
it's great. It's not easy to get him because he's in California, but he does. He's so smart, and he's a workout monster. He works out every day, so he's fit as he can be, and very smart horse person on the horse and reads races very well, and it's great to have him on Tim Arcas.
Kieran, I appreciate your time, man. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone at this time. The next question comes from Tom Chica of Horse Race Insider. Please go ahead.
Hi, Kieran. Earlier on this call, Mark Cassie more or less said that it would take an incredible chain of events for California Chrome not to be Horse of the Year, but you have maybe the horse who could set that chain of events into motion. How much does the Horse of the Year Eclipse figure into your plans on where you go on the Breeders' Cup Day?
Well, that's a good question. Again, it's up to Sheikh Mohammed. He's really gotten involved with this horse. He loves Foster. So we'll let him decide. We are doing great. The horse is doing fabulous, and we're ready to go either way. And I don't know how much that comes into play. I mean, obviously, California Chrome's had an unbelievable run, and he's done great. And we hope if we take him on, we can turn the tables, but it's not going to be easy.
All right, and as long as I talk to you, this is just not to off the subject question. Will we ever see Jess's Dream under silks again? In as much as Rachel's apparently not going to be bred anymore, he's the last horse she'll have on the racetrack, and that race in Saratoga was just incredible.
Yes, it was incredible, and he is in full training right now. He's due to work soon. We've had some rainy weather up here in New York, but he's worked a few times for us this summer. He's doing really well, looks great. So hopefully a few more works, and we'll get him back to the races.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 at this time. The next question comes from John White of Santa Anita. Please go ahead.
Hi, Karen. I was wondering if we could get an update on Cavorting.
Yes, she's doing very well. She worked last week. She trains real aggressively, so we don't work her that often. I said we'll have two more works before we ship out, but she's doing really well, worked in 48 last week, and is training aggressively, but doing very well.
And what were your thoughts about the Zenyatta with the matchup there between Stellar Wind and Beholder, who Cavorting will have to take on in the distaff?
Along with Songbird and a couple of others, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's looking like a great race for the Breeders' Cup Classic and the distaff and many other races, but those two are very interesting. And I was very impressed with both fillies. Beholder still doing it at her age and just missed, and Stellar Wind's a very game filly. So it's there are plenty of good ones out there, but we like our chances with the boarding. She too has been running against some top fillies on the East Coast and doing very well. So we'll hope for the best.
Cavorting has run one time at Santa Anita that was in the La Brea, and she finished third that day. What can you tell us about that race?
Well, it was she ran well, not one of her best efforts, but you know, we've changed jockeys since then and distance since then. So obviously she's going two turns and handled that well at Saratoga. The distance has been a plus for us, I think, because she's by Bernardini, and 7/8 might have just been a little short for her. But she's doing great. And she handled the track out there before, even though she was third.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 at this time. The next question comes from Tim Wilkin, Albany Times Union. Please go ahead.
Hey, Karen, do you have any idea how long your horses will stay at Green Tree before you ship out?
That's a very good question. We're watching the weather close. It's supposed to get pretty cold next week, but right now, tentatively, we have them penciled in for October 23rd flight straight to Santa Anita, nonstop to California. So hopefully that's what we will do. But if it gets really cold and the track gets tightened up, we might have to call an audible and ship a little bit earlier.
Obviously, your horses thrive up there, correct?
Yes, and it's nice. We like to train Frosted right-handed. So he could come down to Belmont, too, but we will hope just to make one move straight to California.
I mean, with all the talk about Mile or Classic, and I know that the bosses have the final say. If you had the final say, where would you go?
I just feel like that I would probably go to the Classic because of the race shape, but that's the only reason. I mean, you know, I get closer, might change my mind, so I'm glad the boss is making the decision.
If you guys don't go to the Classic, do you think some people think you're ducking chrome?
Probably they might think that, I'm sure. So that wouldn't seem like, you know, it's not the craziest thing to think, and people would think that probably, but I just don't know. We'll see. He's doing great is the main thing.
Thanks, Karen.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll turn the conference back to Mr. Mulvihill.
All right, Karen, you mentioned very briefly, and I know you've talked about this before, but I'm not sure how widely known it is, but Frosted does like to train right-handed when it's, or you like to train him right-handed, I should say, when it's possible. Can you just explain for everybody why that's something you like to do and why that's a benefit to him and some other horses that you've chosen to do that with?
Well, we like to do it just because usually you're going left-handed all the time and your injuries or some injuries come left front and right hind because you're always going left-handed. So we like to change the direction that they're training in, and he just seemed to thrive when we did it. So he will train left-handed very willingly and we'll do it when we go to California. But it just helps, we think, you know, with soundness issues and their mind. He doesn't have any soundness problems. But it just is good for all horses to change directions, we think.
Yeah, and you say the mind, too. Is there something there where, like, they understand the difference between then racing and training and when to turn it on and turn it off? Is there something there with that, too?
Not so much. It's more about this just something different for them and get in a different routine and see things different. Because we work him right-handed and gallop him right-handed. He doesn't race right-handed. But it's great for horses to switch directions, we just feel like. So Centurio Italia also is training right-handed. Tamarquez is up there training right-handed. So we feel like it's an advantage.
Very good, very good. Well, Karen, we really appreciate your time today, and best of luck with all these starters this weekend, and we can't wait to hear where Frost is going to go, and we'll look forward to seeing you in California.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Karen McLaughlin, frequent guest on these calls. We always appreciate his time. Just a terrific weekend of racing coming up. I'll hope to see a lot of you at Keeneland. And if you need anything to help with your coverage, as always, feel free to contact myself or Joan Lawrence. Also, a reminder to mark down October 26th. That's the date of the annual Breeders' Cup preview call. That one's hosted by Jim Gluckson, and that's on a Wednesday, October 26th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks to Joan for lining up these guests, and thanks to all of you for joining us. Now, back to Michelle.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the conference call for today. You may now disconnect your line and have a great day.